This is NBC Nightly News, Thursday, October 4th. Reported by John Chancellor with David Brinkley's Journal.
Good evening. The Florida Attorney General for Dade County, which includes Miami Beach, said today that he has evidence the Republicans used secret listening devices last year in the headquarters of the Democratic National Convention. Richard Gerstein, the chief state prosecutor for Miami Beach, says this information was developed from statements made by James McCord, one of the convicted Watergate burglars. McCord this afternoon denied any knowledge of the operation. The Florida investigators say the illegal bugging took place during the Democratic convention in July, which was held less than 1 month after the Watergate burglars were caught in the Democrats' headquarters in Washington. The Florida investigators believe this operation was part of an espionage plan submitted by G. Gordon Liddy, later convicted as a Watergate conspirator. And they say that Special Watergate Prosecutor Archibald Cox has asked them to delay prosecution because it might interfere with his work. The investigators say the Republicans rented an apartment in the Octagon Towers just across from Convention Hall. In that apartment, they installed equipment which picked up signals from microphones hidden in the Democrats' headquarters at the Fontainebleau Hotel, a mile and a half away. Here's more on the story from Steve Delaney in Miami Beach.
State investigators claim they have hard evidence that G. Gordon Liddy's plan to bug the Fontainebleau Hotel during the Democratic convention was actually carried out after Watergate. The information comes from men already convicted in the Watergate break-in.
Based on information we received during an interrogation of James McCord last summer, we learned that the Fontainebleau Hotel had been bugged during the Democratic National Convention and possibly at other times. This bugging was a result of the meeting which took place on Key Biscayne on March 30th of 1972, a meeting attended by the former Attorney General John Mitchell and others, at which time the entire Watergate conspiracy was planned. Well, rooms were rented under a fictitious name, under the name of Hamilton. This was an alias used by E. Howard Hunt. Evidently, they wanted to bug the important persons in the Democratic Party to find out what was happening in the way of political plans and what was happening during the convention. And we have every reason to believe that they successfully carried out this mission. It was a political espionage, but it involved much more than dirty tricks. It involved illegal bugging, which is a crime in this state. But Mr. Cox's office has asked us to withhold prosecution, and for the time being, in an effort to cooperate, we're going along with their request.
Gerstein's staff believes the listening was done from the Octagon building across from Convention Hall, where Republican staff workers were pulled out of a leased apartment just before the Democratic convention, allegedly to make room for the bugging crew.
The lease was signed by Hugh Sloan, Jr., the treasurer of the Committee to Reelect, and Jeb Magruder, one of the staff members of the Committee to Reelect. They were instructing the local people here, local party workers, to arrange for this apartment. And they subsequently signed the lease, and the check came from Committee to Reelect headquarters.
Well, you're assuming then that the Committee to Reelect, at least in the person of Sloan and Magruder, set up this apartment as a listening post to carry out the plan that was made in Key Biscayne in March.
That's what.
In other words, to bug the headquarters hotel of the Democrats.
That's what the information we had.
They seem to be the same people.
Sloan and Magruder arranged for the rent of the apartment, signed the lease, and paid for it. Now, whether Sloan and Magruder were physically present in the apartment, we don't have any knowledge of that.
And Liddy was supposed to get it done.
Liddy originally was supposed to get it done.
And he told Hunt what to do.
That was prior to their arrest in Watergate. Now you have to look elsewhere. When Hunt and Liddy and McCord and the Cubans are arrested,
then they're out of troops.
That's right. And if it was carried out, it obviously had to be carried out by someone else.
And you think it was?
Yes.
And you think you know who did it?
Yes.
But you're not ready to go to court because the Cox people are asking you to hold back.
That's correct.
To sum it up, the state of Florida is anxious to go to court to prove its charge that the Democrats were bugged during their convention that the listening was done from a ninth-floor apartment in this building across the street from the convention hall, and that the orders to do it came from the White House and the committee to re-elect the president. If what the state charges is true, the officials responsible for Watergate learned nothing by having their men arrested in Washington. Instead, several weeks later, they went out and hired another bugging crew and did it all over again here. Steve Delaney, NBC News, at the Miami Beach Convention Center.
The story told by Gerstein and his investigator is known to both the Senate Watergate Committee and the Office of the Special Watergate Prosecutor, but neither group has had access to the evidence Gerstein says he has, and neither group has been able to prove the story. When we contacted one of the Republicans named by Gerstein today, he said he'd never heard of it, and he added, "We were stupid, but not that stupid." Also on the program tonight, we'll have the latest figures on wholesale prices, which are down. We'll have a report on the latest court action involving the president's secret White House tapes. The Congress today voted a historic limitation on the president's power to make war. We'll report on that and on the next-to-last appeal, which was made today by Lieutenant William Calley, convicted in the My Lai massacre.
My hogs are better than yours.
Oh, yeah? Well, my prize bull's better than yours.
Them Campbell brothers, always trying to better one another.
I catch more fish than you do.
Well, I match my pickup against that old thing of yours.
In what way?
Toughness, ride, comfort.
Show.
All right. Here's the 74 Ford pickup. Beauty, huh?
It's okay.
Look, that storage area?
It's okay.
Let's go.
Following scenes are reenacted.
Now we head across country. No roads. See how it takes bumps?
Yeah, they're bad.
That's because of Ford's twin I-beam front suspension.
Yeah?
And I got full foam seats, optional air conditioning built right to the dash, optional stereo, and a tough double-wall cargo box. Buford, how about Ford's car-like bride?
Morning already?
Buford, you're home. What'd you think?
Well, my hogs are still fatter than yours.
Drive the 74 Ford pickup at your Ford dealers now. Works like a truck, rides like a car.
The government reported today that wholesale prices fell almost 2% in September, the biggest drop in 25 years. It reported also that wholesale food prices fell 6% in September. Normally, such a drop would soon show up in lower retail food prices, but as Irving R. Levine reports, that may not be the case this time.
Supermarket prices are not expected to go down as much as wholesale prices have. That's because the wholesale index doesn't include such costs as cutting meat, packaging, advertising, and retail costs such as these have been going up. Furthermore, many retailers did not pass on all of the recent big wholesale price increases, and they won't pass on all of the wholesale decreases either. So the best prognosis offered by administration economists on the basis of today's wholesale figures is that the big jumps in food prices are behind us, and retail food prices should start leveling off, but near their present high levels. Irving R. Levine, NBC News, Washington.
It is true that wholesale farm prices did drop considerably, but they've been going up most of the year, if only because the economic program of the Nixon administration never froze prices at the farm level. And that's had a profound effect on the way some farmers live. Here's a report from California.
For Robert Oakey and other California farmers, 1973 will be the most profitable in 28 years. Oakey grows almonds and peaches. Oakey has managed to take about $12,000 a year out of the farm for his wife and four children. But this year, there's some extra money for the things the family had to do without. The Oakeys bought a camper van this spring and took a rare vacation from the 15 hours a day their farm demands. The good year means Oakey will repay the rest of the $150,000 he borrowed to run the farm. A few miles away at the Muller farm, things are good enough this year to remodel the kitchen and buy some new furniture. This year, Dave Muller will pay off his farm loan. The family income will be $50,000. more than four times what it is normally. The Mullers were even able to buy a new air-conditioned tractor. California farmers are earning more this year. While they've got it, they're spending it on things they can't afford during lean years. But the farmers admit that their high profits won't last.
Next year isn't going to be as good as this year. There's no way that the conditions can be duplicated 2 years in a row. So we know that the fall is coming, but it's nice being on the crest for a change.
Vic Biondi, NBC News, Stanislaus County, California.
There's not much difference in pain relievers that you can see, but in your bloodstream, the differences are very real. While all three leading pain relievers reach an effective level in minutes, in the final analysis, only one of them hits and holds the highest level, Anacin. This difference is the extra pain reliever Anacin provides when you have a headache. Remember, the difference in Anacin is the higher level of pain reliever. Anacin relieves pain fast.
Recognize these? They turn water blue in bathroom bowls, but do nothing about germs that grow in bowls. Now introducing new Sanaflush, the only in-tank cleaner that inhibits germ growth. Read the labels on other in-tank cleaners. Nowhere will they say they do anything against germs. Only Sanaflush has a germostat that's active against even staph germs. New Blue Sanaflush, the only in-tank cleaner that inhibits germ growth.
Attorneys for Vice President Agnew, armed with special powers of subpoena, contacted reporters today to try to learn the source of news leaks in the investigation into Agnew's affairs. Yesterday, a judge granted Agnew's lawyers subpoena powers in a move that was unusual and possibly unprecedented. The grand jury conducting the Agnew inquiry met again today in Baltimore, and it returned a new indictment against another man. Ron Nesson reports.
The grand jury arrived to hear evidence against the vice president for the second day in a row as the pace of the investigation quickened. The witnesses today seem to be more closely connected with Mr. Agnew's political career and the charges against him. The first witness was Joel Klein, a bankrupt land developer. According to published reports, he has told prosecutors he collected and distributed $100,000 to Mr. Agnew and other officials. After testifying, Klein said nothing and his lawyer said little.
Mr. Klein invoked no privileges of any kind and answered every question put to him.
Did the questions involve Vice President Agnew?
We have no comment on the subject matter of the questions.
Another witness was Ormsby Moore, assistant to Mr. Agnew when he was Baltimore County executive. The charges that Mr. Agnew took kickbacks from contractors go back to that period. A third witness was Eugene Shee, an engineer who won many county contracts when Mr. Agnew was Baltimore County executive.
The grand jury took time out from its investigation of the vice president to return an indictment on charges of income tax evasion against Dale Anderson, Mr. Agnew's successor as Baltimore County executive. Anderson was charged with not paying almost $68,000 in taxes on alleged kickbacks from contractors over a four-year period. Anderson previously was indicted on 39 counts of extorting bribes from contractors. It's believed the prosecutors are trying to build the same kind of case against Vice President Agnew. Ron Nesson, NBC News, Baltimore.
Agnew has canceled a speech he was supposed to deliver next Thursday in Williamsburg, Virginia, but he is still scheduled to speak tonight in Chicago. The American Civil Liberties Union today urged Congress to begin impeachment proceedings against President Nixon. The ACLU charged there is what it called substantial public evidence the president took part in high crimes and misdemeanors that violated civil liberties. The possibility that the president may have been involved in crimes was also raised today by Samuel Dash, the chief counsel for the Senate Watergate Committee. Dash was in court arguing the committee's case for getting the White House tapes. Gordon Graham has more on that story.
The chief counsel for the Senate Watergate Committee, Samuel Dash, arrived at the Washington Federal Court building early and had no comment for reporters. Charles Allen Wright, the president's lawyer, also arrived with time to spare, and he too was silent on the matter of the tapes. In the courtroom, Dash argued that the president could not claim executive privilege in refusing to produce the tapes when criminality is involved. He also pointed out this was the first time a prima facie criminal case had been made against the president. Wright responded by saying there was ample precedent to show that executive privilege had been honored in a number of similar cases. Judge Sirica interrupted to ask if the president had not waived his privilege by permitting his former aides to testify about what was on the tapes. Professor Wright said no, that in allowing limited disclosure, the president had not waived privilege. Later, Wright had a candid comment about the possible success of his argument.
I'd like to be successful in some case, somewhere, sometime. So far, I haven't won a fight.
It will be weeks before Judge Sirica issues a ruling in this case. But the key ruling in the Watergate tapes controversy is expected any day now from the Court of Appeals. That ruling will determine if the tapes can be reviewed by Judge Sirica, as he ordered, in a case brought by Special Prosecutor Archibald Cox. Gordon Graham, NBC News at the Federal Courthouse, Washington.
The latest Gallup poll shows that only 32% of the people questioned approve of the president's performance in office. That's down 3 percentage points from 2 weeks ago. And it's only 1 point above Mr. Nixon's all-time low of 31% in the poll registered in August. Convicted Watergate conspirator G. Gordon Liddy today asked the U.S. Court of Appeals to grant him a new trial. Liddy charged that he didn't get a fair trial before Judge Sirica.
Take a break, take a sneak snack. Take a break, take a sneak snack.
Snick Snack Sticks. Light milk chocolate outside, light crisp cookie inside. The perfect break.
Take a break, take a snick snack stick.
Take a break.
You know, I feel it.
The sciatica.
The uniroyals, they really stop short. I feel it. I really feel it.
Then say it.
These uniroyals really turn sharp.
We feel it too, don't we, Al?
That's right. You can actually feel the difference between uniroyal steel-belted radials and your old bias ply tires.
We feel it in our thrill show. You'll feel it on the road.
I feel it. I really feel it.
I know you do, my son.
Congressional conferees today took what may be the strongest action in American history to limit the power of the president to make war. A Senate House conference approved legislation which would end American involvement in any war after 3 months unless Congress agreed to let the war continue. The president has already said he will veto any such bill. Senator William Fulbright, chairman of the Foreign Relations Committee, said that even if the bill is vetoed, it will, in Fulbright's words, stand as a clear declaration of principles by the Congress, and I don't think it can be ignored. Here is what two members of Congress had to say about the legislation.
There's nothing in the Constitution, in the powers of the president, inferred, implied, or specifically stated, which would permit or should permit a president by himself, because of an incident or because of dangerous attack or whatever the case may be, to put the country at war over a long period of time. It's just not there. The power to declare war and maintain the country at war is a responsibility of the Congress, shared with the President of the United States as Commander-in-Chief.
If shackling the president means that a president shall jeopardize the lives and fortunes of all Americans, over 200 million of us, and jeopardize the peace of the world single-handed, then he should be shackled, and that's what the Constitution intended to do. But it will not shackle him in any way, in any authority, constitutional authority, or even human authority that a single man ought to have in a free country.
And that's what a majority of congressmen appear to believe. It is not what President Nixon believes, and what of the American people? David Brinkley's Journal tonight deals with them. David?
Now that Congress, finally, has voted to limit any president's power to start a war on his own say-so, without the agreement, permission, or approval of Congress or anyone else, the American people may wonder why it took them so long. The Constitution says clearly that only Congress can declare war. Well, people may wonder why the president says he will veto this new bill, why any president should need or want the power to start a war entirely on his own, and may wonder why, if he does veto it, Congress cannot get up the two-thirds vote to override the veto. About 2 years ago, a psychologist named Kenneth Clark, speaking to his own professional association, recommended that in every big country having big armed forces, the head of government be kept on tranquilizing drugs to keep him happy, smiling, and passive, to hold down his warlike aggressiveness, lust for power and military glory, his secret longing to start a war and make himself a hero. Well, that may be an impractical idea, however interesting, but a completely practical, reasonable, and sensible idea is for Congress to demand that all future presidents obey the Constitution and fight no war unless Congress agrees. The last president who did, Lyndon Johnson, almost tore the country apart. Mr. Nixon says he will veto this bill because it infringes his power as Commander-in-Chief of the Armed Forces. But the only power he would lose would be a power he never rightfully had in the first place, the power to drag the American people into a needless war entirely on his own. John?
Lieutenant William Kelly is one American caught up in an undeclared war in Vietnam. He was convicted of murdering 22 South Vietnamese civilians at My Lai and sentenced to 20 years at hard labor in prison. Today, Kelly's lawyers went before the highest military court, the Court of Military Appeals, and asked that his conviction be thrown out. Robert Goralski has the story.
Lieutenant Kelly was not here today. He remained at Fort Benning, Georgia, where he's been under house imprisonment for the past 2.5 years. His appeal was presented today by his attorneys. Captain Houston Gordon claimed Kelly's actions at My Lai amounted to nothing more than performing his duty as he understood it. He said Kelly's mind was not that of a murderer. His civilian attorney, George Latimer, said Kelly was the victim of what he called the most intense prejudicial reporting in American history. Government lawyers discounted the factor of pretrial publicity, insisted the trial was fair. They said Kelly is still guilty, even if he thought he was doing his job. After the hearing, Latimer said he expected the case to go on for a long time.
Number one, the president said he's going to review it. When he may do that, if it's affirmed, if it's reversed, it'd have to go back for another hearing. And so it'd be almost impossible to give you the time on it. It's after there's this court, and then let's assume that they were to find against you, against us. Then it would go to the Secretary of the Army and then to the President of the United States for its final process.
The Court of Military Appeals isn't expected to announce its decision for at least another 6 weeks, but it could be months or even years before the case of Lieutenant Kelly is finally resolved. Robert Goralski, NBC News in Washington.
Uh-oh. Somebody's big weekend is not panning out. But nobody ever didn't have fun bowling. Especially weekends. Bowling with friends, with the family, making that big strike. Now that's fun. This weekend, more lanes are available just when you are. For a really big weekend, there's no way you can miss.
What an upset stomach. I said, Frankie, where are we going tonight? He said, baby, you're in for a real treat. I said, terrific, but where are we going? He said, baby, you're in for a real treat.
You want sauerkraut or red onions?
I want some Alka-Seltzer.
When you have heartburn and headache, Alka-Seltzer relieves your headache and neutralizes all the acid your stomach has churned out.
And you feel better now?
Yes.
And you glad you came?
No.
Stock market prices turned down today in heavy trading. The Dow Jones Industrials were off more than 8 points. On the New York Exchange, the average price of a share lost 12 cents. On the American Exchange, the average price of a share lost 15 cents. In Washington, the Senate Finance Committee today approved a 7% increase in Social Security benefits. If enacted, that would replace the increase of almost 6% already voted by the Congress. More unidentified flying objects were sighted last night by people in Mississippi and South Carolina. A forest ranger reported seeing one object near Tupelo, Mississippi, he said was the size of a two-bedroom house. People with allergies used to move to Phoenix, Arizona because the air there was so pure. But when the people came, they brought with them the very things that cause allergies. So the air in Phoenix isn't pure anymore. Frank Burkholder reports.
Not all that long ago, somebody discovered there wasn't any pollen in the air over the Arizona desert. The trees and the plants of the desert are sparse to begin with, and their pollen is heavy and sticky, meant to be carried by insects, birds, and animals, not to be blown through the air. So people with hay fever and other allergies caused by pollen began to move here and to breathe and live again. They had a great man to guide them, Frank Lloyd Wright, who built a school for architects here, using the desert, taking many of his materials and much of his inspiration from the desert. The Frank Lloyd Wright message was clear and simple. Live in harmony with the desert. Don't try to embellish it. Keep your decoration inside the house. Leave the outside to the desert. He preached it, knowing in his heart it was doomed. He predicted the candy makers and the cactus hunters and the period house builders would destroy it. But it turned out to be the people who thought they were following Frank Lloyd Wright's example. A few understood the message and kept the beauty of the desert. But the others saw only the oasis. They planted trees and they planted lawns, and they did it by hundreds of thousands. Pretty soon, the desert was covered over with Bermuda grass and mulberry trees. It not only became a city, it began to look like anywhere USA. And all those trees and all those lawns began to produce pollen, and not just a few weeks during the year, but all the year round.
When we compare the total counts and the types of pollens that we have with other areas of the country, we find that our pollen counts are many times higher than most areas of the country.
You're supposed to come to Arizona and be free of everything, and you come to Arizona and you just, everybody I know has problems with allergy down here.
It would be difficult to find a better place to practice allergy than Phoenix.
There it is, already the worst place in the country for pollen. You know these people are not about to chop down their trees or dig up their lawns, so it won't get any better. This is Frank Burkholder, NBC News. Phoenix.
And good night for NBC News.